You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. He's Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny, and Brent, it is World Championship Week. Are you excited?
Man, am I excited. I mean, growing up as a kid, this is what we just waited for all summer long. We loved our Bark River, we loved the Anagos and the ERXs now to this date that are some of the best tracks around. But when you come to the big house, you know there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of great talent, and man, speaking of talent, there's some big heavy hitters coming from around the country.
Yeah, Pro 2 is going to be unreal. It's going to be absolutely sick. You've got Jarrett Brooks, the 2022 champ, coming back. It's his first time out racing off-road this year. Just announced earlier, just a few days ago on social media by Ryan Beat, you got a 15-plus year NASCAR vet, Casey Mears, jumping in one of Ryan Beat's Pro 2s. You have a Formula drifter, Amanda Sorensen, getting in the other Pro 2. Jacob Rosales making his Pro 2 debut. Ronnie Anderson's back to join Pro 2. It's going to be unreal.
Yeah, you could go on forever. It just gives me goosebumps, Shane, just to listen to you say those great names that are affiliated with our sport. And kudos to Ryan Beat for taking the next step and inviting drivers at that level to come and play with us. I mean, this is what we live for, to go to Fall Crandon. And to have the best of the best there is going to be amazing. And tons of sportsman drivers, including the pros. I mean, Ultra 4 racing, some of the best racing you've ever seen. I know we love to run down on Saturday night to go check out the action, because just the horsepower and the talent of the drivers and what those cars and trucks can do over those obstacles is amazing.
Yeah, if you're an off-road motorsports fan this weekend, which officially starts Thursday, which is the day that you'll be hearing this at the earliest when this podcast is released. Starts Thursday, the Crandon Youth Cup. We talked about that on the last episode, giving the youth classes in Champ Off-Road a chance to showcase themselves on a big stage. It's just youth racing. That's it on Thursday evening. I'm really looking forward to that. Then you got, again, the parade on Friday. The rest of sportsman racing for round 11 on Friday. And then obviously Saturday, World Championship Day for all the sportsmen, the final points race as well for all the sportsmen. So much at stake, especially on Saturday for those sportsman drivers that you talked about. We got some good points battles. Light Buggy, this one's intriguing. Connor Schultz leads Colin by 16 points. Connor's looking for his first championship. Do you think he can seal the deal here, Brent? I think Connor is faster than Colin at Crandon, I do. You think he can lock it up?
Yeah, I believe he can, but just we've seen him do battle in Bark River, the twins, and they're bumping and grinding, and that shows me that each one of them want it that bad, and they don't care if it's their twin brother. They're going to do what they need to do to win, and I think you're going to see it come right down until the end. I mean, 16 points, it's a nice, comfortable gap, but nothing to sit in the back and play with, because you better bring your A game. And you have so many great competitors in the light buggy division. Who knows? I mean, one bad turn one, it can cost a lot of great cars.
I was just going to say, you remember what happened between those two twins in turn one back at Crandon? They got tangled on one another, and you talked about how big that light buggy field is. 16 points, that amounts to 8 spots. You could have a bad day on Friday in the round 11 race and finish 24th. So that points lead, 16 points in a class that big, basically means nothing. Both those guys are going to have to go out and lay it all on the line. Another buggy class that is close coming into the final round, 1600. Again, two teammates, and oddly enough, they're teammates with the Schultz twins too. John Fitzgerald leading his teammate Mike Seifelt by 19 points. And again, that class is big enough where one bad day for Fitzgerald, you can throw that lead away.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. It's championship weekend, but you better have every nut and bolt prepped. And those cars by Seifelt and Fitzgerald are all Bruce Fraley cars. So you know that Bruce has got them ready to rock and roll. So you're going to see some great racing out of those two competitors, to be honest. Because, I mean, every weekend it seems like they find themselves up in the top three. And I think Crandon, you can stretch your legs a little bit, and you can run away and hide, especially in that 1600 buggy division.
Well, another one that's going to be really fun, this is one of those classes that we get to see on Thursday that I talked about, 570 side-by-side. Bryce Powers, still no wins this year, but leads the points over Corbin Wassenberg by 9. Wassenberg swept Crandon back in June for rounds 3 and 4, so that's a really interesting points battle between those two.
Yeah, you talk about confidence. We talk about confidence all year long, to be honest, and that's what Wassenberg can come in with to Crandon because, hey, I'm telling you, you're ready to rock and roll, and he knows what tire setup they need, where he needs to be at the end of the race, obviously on top of the box, but if he's patient, I think he can get the job done.
Well, another side-by-side class that is crazy tight coming into the final two rounds. Sportsman side-by-side, Trent Peets, 5 points ahead of Lucas Hoole. Basically, the way that class is, it's going to come down to which driver can finish in front of the other one, and that's just about it. That's what it comes down to. Doesn't matter necessarily if you finish first or 12th, but you just have to beat that other driver. Does that change your mindset when you're in a tight points battle like that, knowing you got some space back to third place?
Oh, yeah. You'd love to be comfortable, especially going into the final weekend of the points battle. And you just got to keep doing what you've done all year. Trent Peets, very, very quick. I mean, at Lena, it seems like I really paid attention to him because he was really starting to show a lot of speed, taking that win and then moving it forward throughout the rest of the year. I guarantee it'll come down to the end. Lucas Hoole's really, really fast, but Trent Peets has shown his speed all season long, and I think you're going to see a great weekend out of Trent.
Well, Peets showed his speed last year, too, in his rookie year in Sportsman side-by-side, but the consistency wasn't there, and the scary thing for everybody else is, like you said, that consistency starting to show up on top of the speed. And Brent, I think I mentioned this on the previous podcast, but driving, when I got back from Bark River, flipping through all the point standings, and there was one Sportsman class. I saw the points for it, and I went, oh boy, this is going to be a fun final weekend. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our one fan favorite, especially our favorite coming into this weekend, is Super Stock Truck, and definitely I could not tell you right now who's going to win. We talk about carnage. We talk about these guys getting rough in the class and putting their elbows out. Well, it's championship weekend, and I can read all four of the top four in the points, and none of them are going to give an inch.
Right. Just to take a quick look at that point snapshot, Ben Holcher is leading points, Joe Machosik second, Scott Belanger third, Braden Boshaw fourth, 17 points between first and fourth. And again, expanded fields for Crandon for World Championship weekend. It's going to be a packed starting line. A lot of things could go wrong for those guys. A lot of things could go really right for those guys. But I think it's going to come down to the final day, and it's going to be a dogfight right to the end. All four of those guys absolutely has a shot to win this championship. Like I said, this is one of those classes that this weekend, you can't miss it. You have to make sure you see Superstock. It is going to be wild.
Yeah, wild is just an understatement, dude. It's going to be crazy. Joey Machosik, I mean, we know how fast he is at Crandon. We've seen him take a spill. Don't want to jinx him in turn one. So we talk about what could happen or what could happen in good or bad. I mean, Braden Boshaw, he's coming out of his hometown track, Bark River. He swept the weekend.
Big momentum.
That is huge for that whole team and his confidence.
Big momentum for Boshaw, no doubt about it. Remember him and Belanger tangled a little bit at Bark River. Come on, Super Stock Truck just gives you everything. It's got a ton of talent in that class. There's always drama. There's arguments in the pits, disagreements between drivers. There's beefs, active beefs right now that are red hot coming into this final weekend. Again, we can't stress it enough. Super Stock Truck, that's going to be worth the price of admission, I guarantee it, for sure. Well, Brent, before we get to our World Championship Week guest, I want to remind our listeners this podcast is presented by AMSOIL. Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit AMSOIL.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all those vehicles and motorized toys. Use that convenient AMSOIL product guide to find what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. AMSOIL, run with us.
Well, next up on the podcast, Johnny Fitzgerald. How's it going, Johnny?
Oh, not too bad. Can't complain.
So, you're on your way to Crandon as we speak. You're sitting there driving along your, 11, 12-hour trip?
It's about 9 hours, so we're about 2 hours into it. So, that's perfect time to chat on the phone for a while.
So, I was looking back through your Instagram. Like, that's how I research for these things. Is scroll back to the start of your Instagram and your Facebook. I was trying to figure out how many years have you actually been racing at Crandon now? It's got to be like, what, close to 20?
It's going to be dang close to 20 for sure. You know, there was a couple of years in there that I was racing out west, so I didn't race at Crandon. I missed Crandon a couple of times, a couple of years I missed because my car was out west, but it's been definitely coming back there for a long time.
Coming into this weekend, you know, you're sitting on top of the points. You have a 19-point lead over your teammate, Mike Seifelt. 6 wins through the first 10 rounds. What is your mindset? What's your approach this weekend? Is your goal to get a championship ring and the points championship, or is one more important than the other?
I just look at every race. I just want to win every race, you know? I mean, I just have the same mindset. So I'm just going to go out there and give it all. You know, Bruce, you know, driving Bruce's car. And, you know, last year going into the championship weekend, we kind of had, it was closer than this on points, you know? And I'm like, do we tiptoe through turn one and, save it and just make sure we come bring the points championship home? Bruce is like, nope, we're here to win. You hammer down and you give it all. So that's just the way I'm going at it this weekend. Just going to give it all and try and keep the winning streak going.
So you say you just come, you want to win week in and week out. Like, that's your goals. Speaking of winning, how many rings do you actually have to this day?
I've always missed out on the rings. I always, I think I only have 2 rings, you know, and I'll always win on Sunday or I always win the opposite day of the ring day, you know, so I definitely don't have near as many rings as I'd like.
Well, I did do a little bit of homework on that. I know that the last 2 ring races you finished 2nd. So did you even know that? And how much does that bum you out when you're that close on, you know, the biggest single race of the year?
I hate 2nd place with a passion, you know, it's first loser. And it's just, you know, one mistake, you know, if I would have capitalized on somebody else's mistake or I made one mistake, you know, that's just one spot from getting it done, you know. So there's nothing I hate more than being the first loser. So it just gives you more drive to come in next time and come back and get that ring.
So when it comes to Crandon, like you said, you're on your way there a day early because there's now a youth cup on Thursday and practice got moved up a little bit. Everything's shuffled around for this huge event that's going to be happening this weekend in Crandon. It's a lot of extra stuff that's not just racing around the entire weekend. How much do you let yourself enjoy all the other stuff that's going on when you know that there's work to be done on the racetrack? And then is that a distraction to have all that extra stuff, or does it actually add to the fun of it for you?
It's always fun. You know, like I just, you know, same with working every day. I mean, I just, as long as I keep myself busy, you know, I just always got too much going, so just keep on working and working on going faster. And then so I built 2 Ultra 4 cars for Rodney and Owen Van Epperen, so mm-hmm. We'll be running those this weekend too. So I'll be, you know, helping those guys out with those cars, and we'll be pre-running in them, and then, you know, I'll be racing my buggy. And so it's going to be a busy weekend for sure.
So Fitz, you've been coming to Crandon for a long, long time now. When you come to Crandon, you get a great feeling. I don't know about you. I'm sure you've been around a long, long time. It gives Shane and I goosebumps to be there just because it's the world championships. Just to connect with people and families, do you feel that connection still to this day?
Yeah, not just with the track itself, but the town.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there is no place like Crandon. You know, I got goosebumps right now just as you guys hear and you guys talk about it. You know, it's you know, there's nothing like sitting on the starting line in Crandon, you know, and you come through turn one and you pull the whole shot. That is the best feeling ever. You know, because I've been involved in a lot of wrecks in turn one. You know, you just come through there and you're getting sprayed with mud and somebody cuts you off and you just, you know, you can't see and it's just a fast, scary corner. And, you know, it's like Crandon. It's like one of my best friends from home. I would have never would have met him except for he went to Crandon. You know, like, and I met him in Crandon one time. He's like, hey, you're from Omaha? He's like, him and a couple of his buddies just went up there to watch the races. You know, and now he's one of my best friends. So it's pretty crazy what all happens in Crandon.
You know, being from Crandon myself, you know, my perspective on it's kind of the same. Like, it means a lot to people, not just racers, but fans that show up at the racetrack every year, twice a year. Like, I know a couple different kids named Crandon. I know a handful of couples that got engaged at Crandon. So there's like a weird like community around racing in Crandon. You know, obviously everybody knows about that, but just to see it up close is interesting, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no place like Crandon. I mean, it's just the atmosphere, just how many people are there. I mean, it's just, you can't explain it. You got to be there to see it.
So, hey, I've called you. I think I've said this even on the live stream that you're kind of like a professional 1600 racer. And, you know, over 2 decades or so that you've been racing, you stepped into pro buggy for a bit. You've dabbled in pro light, but it seems like 1600 just keeps pulling you back in. What is it about 1600 buggy that you fell in love with and that keeps you coming back like that?
I mean, it's you know, it's just, it's kind of a driver's class because I definitely, when I had my pro buggy, it was, you know, the pro buggy is so fun to drive, you know. I mean, for 1 year I had a pro light ride, got out of Vegas too, and the pro light's awesome to drive too. But like the 1600 buggy, it's all about being smooth, keeping your momentum, and, you know, just, you know, not scrubbing speed, just being consistent and being smooth. And you don't have a lot of horsepower, so that just, it makes it a good driver's class. And it's a, you know, it's a fun car to drive. So, and Bruce has given me the opportunity to wheel his car. So, you know, it's a very good car, and he builds an awesome car. So it's, I can't turn the free ride down.
Yeah, I mean, there is so much competition in that class, and it's cool to see you still in it because you're one of the best, if not the best, in the class over, I mean, the last 5-6 years that I've remembered.
Yeah, at least.
I mean, at least. We could go on for days. And consistently to beat guys like Connor Schultz, Burns, and Trailstead, Seafeld, it takes a lot. I mean, how tough is it for you to keep your mind on straight and to go out and beat them week after week?
That's what we're there for, you know? It's like, you know, I don't come to the races to lose, you know? And it's, like I said, Bruce gives me an awesome car, so it's, you know, I never have to worry about the car. You know, I always know the car is going to be fast. And Jared, the engine guy, I mean, Competitive Edge, he builds this awesome motor. So it's just like, as long as I go out and hit my marks and stay out of the, you know, I always got a target on my back. You know, everybody's always, if you're the fast guy, everybody wants to take you out. So it's like, I always got to be cautious and just know that I got to, you know, stay out of trouble. You know, if you're getting tangled up with guys, all you're doing is going backwards. You know, that's why I just,
right,
you know,
right.
Just try and race clean and make some passes and get to the front and check out.
So how did your relationship with Bruce Fraley start? Cause I know you would have raced against one another for at least a couple of years here in the Midwest and then out West as well. But how did the relationship start that led to you driving his car?
So actually, when we raced in California, we were, you know, pretty much rivals, you know, cause he was fast and I was fast and, you know, we tried, you know, all just wanted to beat each other every weekend, you know? And so, you know, when we raced out there, we really, you know, your rivals, we really didn't talk much. When I built my pro buggy, you know, and I started racing in the Midwest, Bruce was pitted under Sean Morris's awning, you know, and then I ended up started pitting with Morris too. And then so me and Bruce just started talking, you know, like one day it all started. I needed a power steering pump went out on my pro buggy, you know, and I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to race tomorrow. I don't have another pump. And Bruce was like, I got like three of them in the trailer here, throw this one on, you know. So, and that's just kind of like how we started talking and stuff like that. And then, you know, I was like, no, you know, it's like, he's like, hey, you want me to send this power steering pump in and get it rebuilt? He's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. So then became buddies after that. And then, like, the next year, I was building the house and building the shop and everything. I'm like, I just don't have time to race this summer with, you know, doing all that. So I called Bruce. I was like, hey, you know anybody that wants to drive my pro buggy? I'm going to take the year off. You know, there's no point of the buggy just sitting in the shop the whole time. I was like, I'll ask around. And then, like, a couple weeks later, Bruce was like, hey, he calls me out of the blue. And he's like, hey, would you want to drive my car this summer? I'm like, well, that works for me, you know? So I just didn't have time between weekends to prep a car, you know, because Bruce had a bad...
Why not?
Yeah, he had Crandon coming back down the backstretch going into Cowboy Corner, and kind of it was just time for him to hang it up. So I was like, yeah, you know, it's a very nice car. I'll definitely drive your car. That's kind of how it all started.
You know, obviously it's top of the line equipment, a proven chassis that he's been building over the last, for however long, it's been a long time that he's been building great cars, and the results are there obviously, but I'm kind of curious, like, what does Bruce see as the benefit of it? I mean, is he just a competitive guy that just wants to see his cars go fast, or what does he get out of the relationship?
This is kind of like his vacation to come back to the Midwest, you know, and he's got Larry and Gloria, an older couple that where he keeps the car at. So to me, they're kind of like his second mom and dad. He comes back there and helps him, you know, when he comes back a couple of days early and stays a couple of days after each race because the car just stays here in Wisconsin. You know, and he's kind of, you know, he sharpens their mower blades and, you know, changes light bulbs for him in the house. And, you know, it's like his second family to come back here. And Bruce has, I think there's 5 of his chassis or cars racing in the class right now. Over the winter, a lot of the customers send their cars back to Bruce over the winter, and then Bruce goes through them and preps them, and he makes money that way too. You know, and selling them parts and prepping their cars over the wintertime. So.
When did you start driving his car?
This would be the 5th year. Okay. The first year I won the championship, the second year I got second, and then I got second again, then we won the championship last year. So 4 years so far, we won 2 championships and 2 first losers. So and this year, trying to bring home the championship, we're going to give it all.
You're racing for your former rival, and then 3 years into the deal before last season, Bruce decides to add a second car, and he calls another old salty dog buggy racer, Mike Seafelt, another guy that you used to, you know, bang bars with back in the early 2000s. How did that deal come about that Seafelt got to join the team too?
Yeah, so Bruce, he's like, he kind of, because that's actually the car that Seafelt's driving is actually Menzies' original 1600 car.
Wow.
That car is actually still Menzies' car. Bruce got it 2 years ago, and he called Steve. He's like, hey, what would you think about me, you know, picking up your car and going through it, completely prepping it, and then racing it, you know, and then we'll sell it after we're done, you know? And Steve was like, yeah, that's no problem. You know, that sounds like a good plan. So Bruce went through and updated some stuff on it. And then Bruce was going to, he wanted to run a couple races. He's like, he didn't want to run a full season, but he wanted to run a couple of short track races. So then he's like, well, if I'm doing that, I might as well see if somebody else wants to drive it for the rest of the races, since it'll be back here. And Bruce ended up having to have neck surgery. Yeah, you know, he just had a bad spot in his neck. So he's like, the doctors wouldn't let him race. So then he's just like, oh, I guess I'll just let seatbelt run it all year. So that's kind of how it all, because he called me out of the blue one day. He's like, hey, what do you think about seatbelt running the other car? I was like, no, that'd be awesome to get him to come back, you know? You know, like when I was growing up racing, it was seatbelt and Steiny. That's who you had to meet, was those two guys, you know?
Why not have them part of your team, right?
Yep, no, for sure.
Have you learned a lot off of Mike these past two seasons? I mean, I'm sure you bounce back and forth, but you as a race car driver, have you learned a lot of stuff from him?
You know, we shake hands, they get in the car and staging every time. It's like one or two, you know? It doesn't matter if he wins or I win. Obviously, I want to win. But as long as we're on the top of the box, it's all good, you know. And as soon as the race is over, we get back. We talk about, you know, what went good, what went bad, what we should, you know, work on for next weekend. So, no, we're in it together, you know. It's not like we don't hide nothing from each other. We're as long as we want both cars on top of the box. That's what our goal is every weekend.
We did get to see you guys tangle a little bit in Bark River. Was there any, which was funny because I talked to you on Saturday night in Bark River after the Schultz twins got into each other, and we were having a laugh about it. And then you and your teammate Seafelt went out and kind of did the same thing, although not to such dramatic effect.
Yeah.
Did you guys have to have a talk about it?
No. I knew it was going to get sketchy a little bit because I knew it was super slick inside there, and I knew I had a run on him, and I was like, "There's no way he's going to hold it." And I knew I was ready for him to slide into me too. I mean, and then he kind of, you know, he was like, and we talked about it after the race. He's like, he knew if I got around him, he wasn't going to hang. So he's like, he had to give it at all. You know, we kind of bumped a little bit, and I was like, a little more than I was hoping for, but it was all good. It's one of those times too. It's like you gotta. If you see a hole, you got to make it work, and you got to capitalize on it. So
teammate or no teammate, right?
Yeah.
You put the helmet on everybody's arrival. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Not only are you teammates with Mike, but you also hang pretty heavy with the Schultz twins, and you know Connor's starting to get his feet wet more and more in 1600. You're also kind of there alongside Rayford and getting a little bit of help from him and helping him out some. What's that whole team atmosphere like with, what, six total vehicles in three classes? What's the pit atmosphere like there?
Yeah, no, we're all there together, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, if somebody needs to borrow a tool or a part, you know, everybody just, we're just all there, you know? Everybody's goal is to win, you know? So it's like, I spot for Rayford in the pro spec, and we're all there to help each other out and go faster. So it's just, you know, whatever we can do to keep our cars on top of the box, that's what we're there for.
What's your plans? What's your future plans? Do you plan on staying in 16?
I would love to get in something else. Running the business, my business now, it's just, you know, right. It takes a lot of work to prep cars between weekends. You know, I'd love to get in something else, but until I can find some funding, I don't want to go out and race for fifth place. You know, I want to go out and race for the win in whatever class I'm in. If I could find some funding to do a different class, I'd be fully for it. But, you know, if Bruce just wants to keep doing this deal, I'll keep doing this as long as he wants to.
How much has Rayford been trying to get you to drink the Pro Spec Kool-Aid?
Yeah, I've done, you know, like I've helped Grant out with his Pro Life for a long time. And then, you know, I raced Pro Life for a year, and trucks are a lot more prep and a lot more work between weekends, even at, you know, at the track. It'd be awesome to get back in a truck, but I almost think anymore, you know, I'd the Pro Buggy is probably the funnest thing I've drove, but you know, I wouldn't turn down doing something with a UTV also. So I've been, you know, like I built all Rodney and Owen. I built their Pro Turbos this year, and then I'll be doing some more cars for them.
That's awesome.
This winter yet. So we'll see what happens.
How much of your business is racing centric? Cause I know that you do like fab work and some like custom home stuff, right? Or are you just basically, you're just a fabricator for hire basically at the end of the day?
Yeah, I do a lot of side-by-side stuff. I do from race cars to play cars. Still do a lot of work for Chris Brandt with his company. You know, I worked for Chris for 12, 13 years with his concrete cutting company. So I still build all their saw trucks and whatever else they need for, you know, specialty stuff built. And I do a lot of handrails, you know, whatever somebody needs welded up or fabbed up, I get her done.
How many projects actually at the house do you get to get done for yourself, seeing that you're working for yourself?
Nothing. No, I got a whole list of projects I need to do, you know, like two side-by-sides of my own that are in a million pieces that I just, you know, it's either spend money and work on my stuff or work on somebody else's stuff and make money. But I got to start slowing down on so I can have some time for my own stuff. So I definitely take on too much work, but it's hard to turn the money down.
Brent, if it's any, you shouldn't have had to ask the question. The only time we could get him on the phone was during a 9-hour drive.
I had to throw it out there. I know he's a busy man, but I know the honey-do list at home is probably stack up.
Doing all the stuff with the Ultra 4 cars with Rodney and Owen too, you know, so that's four more weekends away from home too that I've been, you know, going to do. And let's go on to work, at least this race this weekend. You know, we're there for the short course stuff and the Ultra 4, so that's, you know. But then we got the Mid-America race coming up, or it's actually at the Disney race in about a month. We'll have the Ultra 4 cars out there again. So the Yamaha R-Maxes that we built for them.
Nice. I'm actually excited to see those race.
They're racing against Turbo K&Ms and stuff. So they're not, you know, they're no speed demons or anything like that. You know, the whole purpose of building those cars was just to prove how durable they were. You know, it's a Yamaha-backed deal, and Yamaha just wanted to show what, you know, the R-Max just have some safety equipment on them. You know, I did full cages, full doors, you know, race seats, belts, and all that stuff. But all the suspension, all that stuff's all pretty much all stock. So they just, you know, drivetrain and everything, they just want to prove how durable of a machine it is, you know. And they're fun to drive. They do some weird things that you wouldn't think that they would do. And they're a fun machine. They're a very well-built machine.
Nice. Well, hey, John, we don't want to keep your attention off the road for too long. Like you said, you still got 6.5-ish hours on your drive up to Crandon. What are you looking forward to most when you get into town?
Sitting still for a little bit. You know, I was out of town all last weekend. Got home Monday at like 5 o'clock and then, you know, worked all night and then got up Tuesday and worked all day and half a day today and on the road again. So it's just ready to actually sit still for a little bit and then, you know, get into racing.
Well, best of luck this weekend, John. Thanks for taking a little time with us here on the podcast, and we will definitely catch up with you at the track this weekend.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Brent, now just a few hours stand between all of us and World Championship weekend, kicking off with that Crandon Youth Cup on Thursday. Again, that's Thursday, August 31st. And it's easy. There's so much history baked into the World Championships and Crandon International Raceway. It's easy to use time like this to reflect on that. I've said before that you can win championships and carve out a nice career resume by winning other places, but if you want to be a legend, you come to Crandon Labor Day weekend and win a race. Some of those guys, those legends that our racers are still chasing, well, you got Faye Stetsny, our flagman, 11 world championship rings. Art Schmidt, 12 world championship rings. Dan Badeau, I don't know how many he has, but I know it's double digits. He's got a ton of those things. And Mark Steinhardt, still out there in Pro Buggy, he's got 11 world championships. These guys are legends, and that's what this weekend is really all about, building legacies.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about just showing the history when you go to Crandon. I mean, just trying to be a part of that history. I never got a chance to get one of those rings, but daggone it, I want to try it at it sometime down the road because that's just something to put on your pedestal. It's something to put up on your mantle at the end of your career. Or, I mean, some of these guys, like you said, Faye and Steiny and Dan Badeau and Art Schmidt, man, I can't imagine having that many. And just, there's some of these guys are still out here fighting for more.
Yeah, we have a great weekend ahead of us. Weather looks to be absolutely perfect. Again, racing starts Thursday, August 31st, 4 p.m. Central Time with Crandon Youth Cup. I'm really looking forward to that. Racing Friday at 2 p.m. Central. That's the rest of round 11 for all the sportsmen. And then the sportsman finale and Pro Round 11, 9 a.m. Saturday, all those times, Central Standard Time, World Championship Saturday, World Championship Weekend is upon us, Brent. What are your final thoughts on it?
Man, oh man, I don't know when we're going to have time to sleep. There's going to be so much excitement and going around talking with all the drivers and just the amount of vehicles and people and the KISS concert that'll be going on. Just the hype is just over the top. Crandon's overdone it once again, and I'm excited to get there. I'm excited to call all these races, keep everyone entertained throughout the weekend, and it's going to be warm, so make sure you drink a lot of adult beverages or water to keep yourself hydrated.
Yeah, water first, just for the record, for legal reasons. We have to promote the water first and then enjoy another cold beverage responsibly. But I think you said it all, Brent. I'm excited to get there. can't wait to see what Crandon has in store for us. I know it's going to be a good one. And that's it for this episode of the podcast. For Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny. Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL. We'll see you in Crandon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.